Welcome to Interview Radio on WLXL-LPFM, your new community radio station down here on the north side of Lexington. My name is Kaki Urge. I'm one of your hosts today on Interview Radio. We do it every Tuesday and Thursday from 11 to 1. I'm always joined with my colleague, Lexington Sowers. Hi, Lexington.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. You also go by Little Lex, so the whole city doesn't get confused because your name is the same as the whole city. I've also got my colleague and co-host Ben Wolf here. And today we're going to have a very special show because we are thinking ahead to tomorrow. Ben Wolf, you're thinking ahead to tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh, of course.
Well, it's great to see you. So Ben's been thinking ahead to tomorrow, and we've got some really remarkable guests here.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
It's Wednesday.
Okay.
It's the 18th.
All right.
And what does that mean in terms of a day?
Be the middle of November.
It's the middle of November.
We're a week away from Thanksgiving. So I need to make phone calls.
It's nearly my birthday. It's almost the Great
birthday?
American Smokeout.
Can you say
November 20th, which
okay.
is Friday?
Now
usually
can hack into your Amazon
yeah,
account.
Usually right on the Great American Smokeout, but Wednesday tomorrow is Transgender Awareness Day, Remembrance Day. It's Transgender Awareness Month, and then tomorrow is designated as a Remembrance Day. So we've booked a whole bunch of guests who are going to talk to us about the things that are going on in the LGBT, lesbian, gay, transgender community, from some of our different organizations to official places. And our first pair of guests are from the Lexington Veterans Administration Medical Center. I want to welcome Sherry Sawyers. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great today. And also Cindy Robichaud.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Both these folks are licensed clinical social workers, okay, LCSW, and those are the people who help you really get your life together. I have had so much great experience with LCSW people in fields so diverse. And then later in the program, we are going to welcome brand new Lance Poston. He's the UK director of LGBTQ resources. Okay, so that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, asterisk, which is other designations that don't go after Q. So I've got my colleagues Ben here and Lexington, and they are really prepared to learn a little bit more about what's available for transgender folks who are in the military and who are veterans. And we're also going to learn about things at UK. And we're also going to take a moment to, you know, just welcome all of our transgender listeners that we know are in our city and are such wonderful contributors to the fabric of our city. So Lexington, here you go, darling.
I just wanted to know, what are some of the resources that are available for those that are in the Army and also may identify as members of the LGBT or transgender community?
In the military, currently transgender service members are not allowed to serve openly. I know there are people in government positions that are working to make that change so that all service members can serve as who they truly are, because they're already serving. They just aren't openly serving as who they feel they truly are. And what they could actually do is actually, I feel, is serve and do even a better job than they're already doing.
How do you all work to kind of help alleviate some of that stress that comes with not feeling like you are who you are?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot of changes happening at the Lexington VA. And I might just take a second to say that we were recently named as a leader in LGBT healthcare equality by the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, that I think is a extension of what we're doing. So we've got a lot of things going on. In 2011, there was a national VA directive that said the VA will provide care for transgender veterans. And it pretty much includes all aspects of medical care, but not sexual reassignment surgery. That may be a change that comes later, but that's where we are at this point. And I wanted to comment, too, on what Sherry was talking about being able to serve openly. This past October was the 4th anniversary of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so I guess that policy didn't include transgender, so that's why they were kind of left out of that. But that's a coming change as well. So Sherry and I have been on a team that we've developed called the Transgender Care Coordination Team. And there's 4 of us that work together. Well, actually, there's more than 4 of us. So it includes psychology, primary care, endocrinology, and speech therapy. Uh-huh. And we serve as a guide for the whole rest of the VA and all of the providers and also any LGBT veteran, but most especially transgender veterans who get really fragmented care because this is a new policy. A lot of people don't understand what's involved and what people need. So we're doing a lot of education. We're trying to do outreach with some community members. In fact, we met Lance at Kristen Beck was recently in town. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Kristen Beck. Kristen Beck was Chris Beck. He was part of the Navy SEAL team. Highly decorated. Sherry could probably enumerate all of her accomplishments, but
everything from a Purple Heart to accommodations.
13
deployments. 7 of those were combat deployments. Of course, she was injured at the time, and
she served as a he at the time.
Mm-hmm. Was actually the leader of SEAL Team 6. Was part of the Bin Laden when Bin Laden was
raid.
The raid. Yeah, yes, yeah. Thank you, Ben. Who is now Kristen Beck, retired from the Navy in 2011, still served in the public sector. And is working very diligently with government officials to help with transgender veterans to actually be able to serve openly in the military. As I said before, Kristen Beck is someone that is a good role model, I feel, for other transgender veterans or just individuals in the community. Or any other LGBT veteran or civilian out there, that you're not alone. There are resources in the community. And to get back on the VA, as Cindy was talking about, we currently at the Lexington VA have that consult team. Any VA staff member in the VA, from podiatry to the diabetic clinic, can call up if they have a veteran that, you know, maybe is questioning, you know, where can I get that care? And we'll be the experts on that team to get those answers and get them the care they need, whether it's mental health or maybe to go to endocrinology or primary care for their hormone replacement therapies or whatever it may be.
I think, too, and I'm proud that the Lexington VA is making all these changes, because with the history with LGBT veterans and transgender veterans can't even serve openly now, I feel like, owe them a lot, and we need to provide care for them because they have vulnerabilities that are unique among veterans.
And you mentioned earlier, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that. So that just applied to gay people, and transgendered people weren't really taken into consideration when they made that policy?
I haven't read that whole policy recently, but okay. I know that it didn't include transgender, so
right.
The breadth of it I'm not really clear on, but...
So it may, or may, a kind of don't ask, don't tell policy may apply still to transgendered people, or maybe not, kind of depending on how the wording is interpreted of...
Yeah, I'm not even really sure how all that complicated government stuff works sometimes. Yeah. Even at the VA, you know, we got to sort stuff out. But
the message we want to put out is the Lexington VA wants to be there for all veterans, regardless of their sex, you know, gender, religion, race, no matter what it is. If you're LGBT, we are here for you.
So this doesn't come into play at all when it comes to getting medical help or psychological therapy and
absolutely
stuff like
not. Okay. Which is the point of the directive.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
Is that a 2011 directive?
Yes.
That added transgender to the repeal.
Yes.
Okay.
And you guys might find it interesting, we did, is that the incidence of transgender veterans is 5 times what it is in the general population.
That's fascinating. Huh. And how did you or the social work community or the military community find that out?
Well, we have those figures from a study. Let's see here. Looks like this is from the National Center for Transgender Equality.
Okay.
It says, in the general population, one report indicated 0.3% of the population is transgender. So 5 times that is the estimate. But we want to point out that people don't really feel like they can be who they are. So we really don't even know how many LGBT people are in our general population, let alone the veteran.
Right, because faced with a survey question like that in a military situation with that restriction, you would probably not answer it.
Right.
But still, perhaps underestimate is estimating 1.5% of the military as transgender. And why do you think that folks who are transgender maybe gravitate towards military service?
One theory is that under that structured environment, they don't always have to address who they feel they truly are. And I will go back to Kristen Beck. Kristen spoke on, she joined to be an elite Navy SEAL because she wanted to be the most macho or the most
masculine.
Manly,
yes. Be the best. And that's what she was taught as a very young child by, parents and society is boys.
Not unlike Caitlyn Jenner being an Olympian, so to speak.
Sure, sure. Now, when Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Olympian Bruce Jenner, made his transition and her transition and her public announcement and appeared on the ESPN awards show, did you see an increase in queries and requests amongst your veteran population?
We have been seeing increases. We don't even have, let me just back up and say, one of the things we're getting together is a support group for LGBT veterans. And we already have 14 people on the waiting list, and we don't even have the group together with a start date.
Can you give us that contact information in case anybody who's listening is interested?
So you can contact the Lexington VA at 859-233-4511. And my extension is 3154. My name is Cindy Robichaux. And Sherry's kind of heading up the transgender care team. But again, we can help anybody across the spectrum of LGBT. And your extension?
My extension is 3482. And anyone can call either of us, and we will guide you in the right direction to make sure you get the care you need, whether that support group or any other care. We want to emphasize that, even though some service members or veterans now were, dishonorably or discharged, because of their sexual orientation, or gender, whatever it was, we're not the military, and the military hopefully is learning from those things, and all have served and have earned that right to have the equal care. They put that uniform on, they've earned that benefit, so we are there for all those veterans.
And so that's to say that if somebody is staying away from the VA with a dishonorable discharge, even not even being T for transgender, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, can we just be plain gay or bisexual or lesbian, right?
Right.
Vanilla sexualities now, right? So, but those were prohibited previously, and they were dischargeable. So if you're a person who is lesbian, gay, or bisexual, not really thinking about making a transition, but you're staying away from VA healthcare because of your dishonorable discharge on a sexual orientation thing, then they can come back?
They can come back, and we can help them get in touch with certain veteran service organizations in the community that can work with them to request their character discharge be upgraded to honorable so that they are eligible for either health care benefits or other benefits that they're not eligible for at this time due to that dishonorable discharge. Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So that would be a completely new thing that's come up since the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So just right. Because you've been rejected before doesn't mean you can't come back and take advantage of the new, more inclusive
right.
policies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
We're very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And want all veterans out there to know that. And we already know of some of those character discharges that have been upgraded. So we're very excited to be able to provide them that care now.
Are there any specific challenges, whether with physical therapy or analysis that you've run into relating to people who are transgender? Anything leap to mind in particular that's maybe different?
Well, you know, the medical complexities of transgender care, which, you know, yeah. we are social workers, not medical people, but
right.
We just completed a 14-hour VA-wide, nationwide training, and we have, actually, I think Lexington VA is going to break the record for the largest team. Since we completed it, we've recruited about 30 people across disciplines, including two teams that work in the women's clinic and primary care, which is kind of central to all transgender care. So I would say just what we have found is that the education for people mm-hmm. to understand, you know, the VA is an old institution, and we are just really happy to be a part of educating people that might not know what transgender is and might not know what it involves. And I think that's probably what we've seen the most.
So maybe not necessarily new protocols, but you have new training and maybe more understanding.
New protocols and new training.
Oh, new, okay.
And I want to say, too, that the VA follows the WPATH guidelines, which are the worldwide medical guidelines for transgender care.
Okay.
And I was asked recently by somebody who said, well, why would the VA take this on? We don't have expertise in this area. I don't know that there's a lot of expertise, period. And the VA is the largest healthcare organization in our country. So this policy represents the largest shift towards transgender care. So I'm super excited that we're progressive
and,
and being a part of it.
If I can be the dum-dum for just a second,
yes.
Can you define what exactly transgender is for people who may not know or be unfamiliar?
Sherry
with
and I were joking about this. I didn't bring my diagnostic manual with me, but essentially the new term is gender dysphoric, but essentially you do not identify as your biological sex that you were born into. And so it's across a spectrum. It's no longer male or female. In fact, Kristen Beck would say that she identifies as herself, dressed as a woman when we saw her, but also as much as the Navy SEAL that she still is. She feels the same way she did since she's 5 years old. So, you know, along with the changes in our culture, it's no longer vanilla, as you referred to earlier, you know.
That was a joke, obviously.
No, I know,
right.
I know. But really, I mean, along the spectrum, male, female, gay, straight is no longer
right,
all there
right.
is. Yeah.
Well, I was reading on Etsy, of course, because I was looking for a knitted hat, and it said demisexual pride knitted hat. And I'm like, okay. Demisexual, like D-E-M-I sexual. Mm-hmm. I need to go find out what is demisexual. Clearly, maybe I could be it. And it said the definition of demisexual is that you can't have a sexual arousal without an intense emotional attraction to a person. Kind of like what it used to be, I guess.
Yeah.
But so there's more of a you know, an interaction, like we need to play Legos for like 12 hours before I can, you know, have sex with you. But in any case, yeah, so obviously that's a part of the broader spectrum. And so you guys as LCSWs, do you personally do the counseling yourselves, or do you have people who work with you? If somebody wants to come and talk about being transgender, are you guys also your managers and yet you're also practitioners?
Yeah, both.
But both, you know, with the LCSW, you're able to do both. Of course, we, with taking the training, you know, are now providing that supportive therapy throughout the process of any transition, wherever they may be in that transition. And everybody's at different levels, of course, or any LGBT, you know, LGBT veteran, we're there for them also to help provide supportive therapy or even get them into, if they need couples counseling. We have specific providers at the VA that are able to do that also.
Well, I will say a lot of people who are transgender do know that there's a lot of hoops that they have to go through. So there's an assessment for readiness for cross-sex hormone therapy. There are support letters that they sometimes need to carry with them if they're dressed in a different gender than appears on their license and the police stop them.
Okay.
And they get hassled, that kind of thing. So we've learned how to word the documents that they need and support whatever they need to do. And transitions can be full or partial, and that's up to the person too. But it's a lot. I think it's almost, I don't know if I would say too much for every single provider at the VA to have expertise in. So that's where we come in. We're just there to help them with what they need.
Sure. And then what about if a person were to come forward and need some help and maybe some counseling, and they were the gay, lesbian, or transgender, are there both male and female counselors that they can talk with? They don't necessarily have to go to a gender that they're uncomfortable with, though. So that's great. And the other thing is, we read a lot, I think, in coverage of transgender and transgender youth, about sort of an increased level of addiction in the cohort. Now, you guys have addiction treatment over there, but you also have VA cited 12-step meetings, right? On the site, is that right?
Yes.
And so are those open to anybody? Like anybody can come, or do you have to be, you don't have to be a VA patient, right?
I haven't checked lately, but that was my understanding in the past that there was a particular day that any individual from the community could even come on site there for those 12-step programs.
Sure. Okay.
So have you seen an increase over time, and especially since the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in transgender individuals coming forward and seeking services?
I think as Cindy stated a little while ago, I think we've had an increase. I think just, I don't know if it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but or if it was the VA in general, here at the Lexington VA, us being in the community and showing our support and letting them know that we are there. We participated in Pride for the first time this year and met a lot of veterans that weren't seeking care or were seeking care that weren't openly open that they were transgender, and we've been able to help coordinate their care through our consultation team, so that they're getting the best care that they deserve.
As far as like counseling goes, if they run into, let's say, a fellow serviceman or woman who may not be sensitive to who they are, what they're going through, and maybe not necessarily facing discrimination or ridicule, but maybe just getting made fun of every once in a while or insensitive remarks, do you teach them how to interact and address those issues with other soldiers?
Well, I don't know that I've ever worked with any LGBT veteran. Well, they're veterans that are still active. I don't know if you have, Sherry. I mean, we would.
I think there's certain Are you talking about an active military, or are you talking about veterans just talking about, in general?
Well, I'm just active military or veterans in general who, you know, how better to deal with maybe somebody who doesn't understand, or do the other soldiers, by and large, just don't care, and you signed up for the military, and you... you know, volunteered to lay down your life, and I don't care what you are. And
you know, I think it runs the gamut. And you know, this isn't necessarily part of the VA, but for anybody who's interested in Kristen Beck's story, mm-hmm. It's streaming on Netflix. There's a CNN documentary called Lady Valor, and she talks about what it's like to come out to a Navy SEAL team. And she got every response you just mentioned. Oh, okay. There were some people that were like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've served together for 20 years. And they're like, I support you. Other people had a different reaction. And so, you know, again, I think that's why it's so important what we're trying to do here in Lexington. Mm-hmm. Because we're in a different cultural stripe of the country. Definitely. And so we're just going to help in any way that we can. And really proud that we are not discriminating.
Very good.
I think that support group can also be a big plus for those veterans, because they'll be able to come to that and actually talk to each other. Absolutely. With the guidance of our staff. Mm-hmm. For the support they may need.
Okay.
And so then we're in a month of transgender awareness. It's the whole month of November, and then coming up this week. It says here on November 20th, which is Friday, but I think there are some activities tomorrow locally, particularly at the UK campus. So what have you guys seen happening in awareness campaigns for people to push information out about transgender awareness, how to be aware of our neighbors and veterans and coworkers who are transgender, but also I think the Transgender Awareness Day is for us to be aware of and remember the violence that has been put against some of our transgender folks. Could you talk a little bit about the history of that and how that day's developed and how we might as a community kind of celebrate it and remember?
Well, I was going to say that our VA was part of a recent conference here in town called Growing Older, Growing Bolder, and was about aging LGBT. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting.
When was that?
Let me look.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago down at the Hunt Morgan House.
Oh, great.
And so we were, again, part of a community. And like Pride, you know, it was our first year. It's like we can officially show up. And it's like, whoa, yay, Lexington, VA. So there were a couple of transgender people who spoke there, and they had showed some documentaries, and they did some excellent training, and they had panels of people. And one of the transgender speakers talked about the violence that you're talking about, and I'm not an expert in that area, but she, I don't know if you can help me remember her name, she talked about particularly LGBT people are vulnerable, and if you're a transgender person of color, you're much more likely to
I've seen those statistics.
Be mm-hmm. recipient of violence, and in some ways it mirrors the other issues that non-LGBT people face as well. So
the name has slipped me. I can't remember, but she was a
judge on the Kentucky Supreme Court. So talked a lot about her affluence that are not, and the options for her for healthcare, the best around, you know, the best available that are not typical of LGBT people necessarily.
I will bring up a point that she made was that stuck with me was she was a white male, had all the finances to do whatever, you know, had the family with the house and the white picket fence and the dog and all those things for years, and still wasn't happy, but lost those privileges, you know, when she became herself. But she, you know, realized this is not me, and if I don't do it now, you know, I'm never going to do it. And, you know, and how her life is just so much more fulfilled now, and she is able to be who she has felt like she is from a very, very young age.
Well, I experienced that in the 90s. I was an editorial assistant on an academic journal, and we had accepted a paper from this renowned economist in Iowa, renowned economist and rhetorician, big name. And so the way the academic journals are, that they have pretty simple cover design. They just put the title of the long article and then the name of the scholar. And I literally had to say, stop the presses, because he had midlife, you know, decided, despite that this prominence nationally and so forth, that he was going to put that white male, you know, gender aside and the power it comes with, and become, you know, kind of an over 60 white woman. And we know how powerful those women are. Mm-hmm. So,
indeed.
This is WLXL LPFM, your new community radio station here on the north side of Lexington. We are here on Interview Radio. My name's Kaki Urch, one of your hosts, along with Lexington Sowers, Little Lex, and Ben Wolf. And we are joined by our two guests from the Lexington Veterans Administration Medical Center. Both are LCSWs, which is a licensed clinical social worker. Sherry Sawyers is here and Cindy Robichaux. And they are being able to tell us a whole lot about new avenues for transgender veterans and current military serving folks that have been allowed for the very first time this year. You guys are becoming nationally well known as a leader in this. It's the first year you could go to Pride. We sponsored a growing older transgender conference here in Lexington. Quite remarkable. Coming up this week is Transgender Remembrance Day. And there are several places online. Transgender Remembrance Day has its own Facebook. So you can go and click on that Facebook and see things. And the Advocate, okay, traditional gay publication, has got Transgender Day of Remembrance, Those We've Lost in 2014. And they've got a list and 10,000 shares, photographs of, unfortunately, all of the folks who have lost their lives this year, and many of them are people of color. So Ben, what's up over there? Have you got a question for our guests?
Well, yeah. I guess, how did the two of you become involved in the VA? What path sort of led you to them? I guess, are you both from Kentucky or elsewhere?
I was born and raised in Pike County, Kentucky, up around Pikeville. So,
and
country
this is
girl,
Sherry.
Hillbilly.
Sherry speaking, yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And completed my undergraduate at what was then Pikeville College, University of Pikeville now, or UPike, and then came here and completed my master's in social work at the University of Kentucky in 1996. And
what was your first job coming out of that program?
My first job wasn't even a social work job, and we'd probably
have
to schedule another time to talk about.
You said that you did a placement in this very building.
I actually did a placement as a graduate social work practicum student when this was Fayette School, alternative school, back in, I guess, 94 or 95.
We had the Fayette County Board of Health Commissioner here, and he said he worked in this building as well, I think a little over 20 years ago.
Everybody who's anybody's worked in this
building has come through here.
But to answer your question about coming in, I think you were asking about how I came into the VA. I actually was working in non-production goods as a purchaser for non-production goods for a small company out of New York, and purchased for Fortune 500 companies, and VA wasn't hiring social workers at the time, and I was making decent money, but I still played a social work role in whatever I did.
May I add in here that Sherry's a veteran?
I was going to ask, and what service, Sherry, did you?
I was in the Army.
Really?
Yes.
So from when to when?
Mostly reserve time, but 86 to my last time, I had a break in service for 8 years, and I went back. My last time was in, I got out in 2005.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For serving. My brother's got about 22 years in the reserves.
Okay.
But he's been living in Ireland for 14 years. So if he comes back and does a couple of years, he can retire.
Good for him.
If he can do the PT, right?
Yeah. Thank him for his service.
Right. He's gone on some interesting pot chopping expositions in Eastern Kentucky, but he's also been to Latin America several times, right?
And Cindy, how about you? How did you come to
Well, just quickly, I grew up in Nashville, and I moved to Lexington in 1980, which I think was right around your first tenure with that here at UK and RFL and all that.
Well, Cindy's bringing up my background. This is Khaki, and I did have something to do with WRFL, the student radio station. And in that role, I did write a newspaper column. So some people,
right, for the Colonel.
Wrote a newspaper column for the Kentucky Colonel. And so a lot of the people who were students at that time sort of go, I remember you.
Yeah, I know you're legendary.
Well, I'm rememberable in any case. Yeah, so that was it, about 82, 81 I started,
So I've been in Lexington a lot longer than I was in Nashville, and I initially went to graduate school in psychology with a master's, and actually worked with Ben's mom at Bluegrass for a couple decades. And when things started to change there, and I thought... You know, it's a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I assume it's still a nonprofit. And I was really trying to find a fit that would go with the value systems of that. And so I figured the VA was a pretty close fit. And so I was lucky enough to get on there and haven't really looked back. It's very similar in that respect of serving people without looking at the bottom financial line for profit, which I'm happy not to do.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to have any other job in the world. I would share that. I get to come into work, and, you know, we all have red tape and bureaucracy at our jobs, but I work with some great people, and I get to work with veterans every day, and that's just a privilege, I feel.
And I just want to just add that this whole shift towards transgender care, and as big as the VA is, this is huge, and I'm so proud that, you know, we can be a leader that our government-run healthcare is on the forefront.
In Kentucky.
In Kentucky and across.
Yeah. And do you think that as a leader, you guys will be held up, not you personally here in Lexington, but the VA as a large system will be held up as an exemplar when other large systems that are maybe working with Affordable Care Act or that come through and decide which services transgender people might get from them?
I would say we have no control over those big decisions, but I think people would be remiss not to. I mean, even our training, we look at the world guidelines. Mm-hmm. So it's just so critical to be on the same page, because a lot of transgender veterans that we've talked to, they'll call it self-medication, and I always think of that in terms of substance use, but they'll self-medicate and buy hormones over the internet, and you don't know what you're getting. And
play with your bodily system. Yeah.
So it's not just the VA, but certainly as the largest healthcare provider in our country, you know, I would think people could look to what we're doing. We could set a high bar. I think we are trying to do that.
And when do you anticipate your LGBT support group that you mentioned at the top of the show? When do you expect that might come into play? When you might make it happen? You're compiling people of interest right now. When do you think your first group meeting might be on that?
We're aiming for January.
Great. Great. Right. Okay. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Interview Radio on WLXL LPFM. My name's Khaki Urch, one of your hosts. I'm here with my co-host, Lexington Sowers, and Ben Wolf. We've got a great pair of guests today, Sherry Sawyers and Cindy Robichaux, both licensed clinical social workers from the Veterans Administration. And Sherry is a veteran herself. And so we are thrilled to tell you about that and tell you that these two great women are compiling people of interest for a LGBT support group. Is that right? It's not just transgender. It's everyone in this support group. Mm-hmm. And so can we get that contact info again if people want to reach out to you guys? It's if you're interested in the Veterans Administration here in Lexington, LGBT support group, you can call 859-253-4511. 859-233-4511. And it's extension 3154 or 3482. Mm-hmm. Sherry Sawyers or Cindy Robichaux are the people who are coordinating that. And we are here to tell you, they do not bite. They are great. So we've been blessed here at Interview Radio this past week, along the lines of Veterans Day. We've been bringing a lot of people in from the VA. Desti Stimes has been very helpful. She's the public relations person there. She's come personally twice. We've talked to doctors of psychology. We've talked to you guys who have this incredible focus on LGBT. Making us a national leader in that. And we also talked to, who else did we talk to in the very beginning in Veterans Day?
We talked to Phil Brennan, and we talked to Dr. Kevin Pernicano.
Yes, in charge of traditional medical care, folks who are into providing that. We also, Lexington did an interview. Do you want to tell them about your interview?
I interviewed a Lexington veteran named Matt Bradford, who is he lost both of his legs and his vision while he was in Iraq, and just has a very interesting story, a very amazing lease on life, and just look at how he goes through his day. And he's also a UK student, so that's really awesome to see how he's adapted, I guess, after his injuries.
And we'll get that interview with Lexington and Matt Bradford, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, who is a University of Kentucky School of Journalism and Telecommunications broadcast major. We'll get that up on our WLXL website, and you can listen to that in its entirety. It's quite lovely. We have some photos of Lexington and Matt at the interview. Mm-hmm. So we've got to bid our VA friends adieu, but there's more Interview Radio, especially on this topic of Transgender Awareness Week and Transgender Remembrance Day, which is Friday, November 20th, coming up. I'm going to kick to our theme song, which is a little tune called North Limestone on the Hallelujah record by the Patrick McNeese Band. Patrick is one of our Wednesday hosts. He does a great interview show on Wednesdays. But we've chosen his song as our theme song. And so we'll go with that, and we'll be back with more interviews on Interview Radio. Is it Jimi Hendrix? Is it Duane Allman? No, it's DeBron Thomas on WLXL LPFM. New album out by a local man, DeBron Thomas, who is one of our volunteers here at WLXL. I'm glad to play that. And before that, we went with our little Interview Radio theme song on WLXL LPFM. You are listening to Interview Radio. My name is Kaki Urch. I am one of your hosts, along with Lexington. Hi, little Lex.
Hey.
Sowers. Her name is Lexington. It's the name of the city. It's her same name. And Ben Wolf. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Hi, Kaki. I'm fine.
And then so down here on Interview Radio, down on North Limestone, pretty much, we're in the STEAM Academy. We're in the Lexington STEAM Academy on 6th Street, 123 6th Street. And that's right at the North Limestone intersection, you know, the four corners of the universe. We've got the donuts, we've got Al's Bar, we've got chicken, we've got Arcadium with the Ms. Pac-Man right there. And so our theme song we've chosen is by the Patrick McNeese Band, and it's a tune called North Limestone, which is kind of a nice downtown blues off his current record, Hallelujah. So, guys.
Patrick, our morning DJ here.
Is Pat? No, that's a different Patrick.
It's a different Patrick.
No, we have two Patricks on the station. Okay, we have Patrick Friday, and you spell Friday like frying it.
Gotcha.
All right, Friday Mitchell. Okay, now he has the Kiss of Life spelled with a Y every morning from 7 to 9. And he brings us interviews and some real smooth, sort of like a Detroit AM radio station is what my friends from Detroit tell me. It's a very lively bit from Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, the Kiss of Life. But then Patrick McNeese is a local visual artist and musical artist, as we can hear here with his Hallelujah thing. It's produced by Patrick McNeese, Dwayne Lundy, and Tom Martin. And words and music by Patrick McNeese. And let's see, Tom Martin plays on it. Trip Bratton plays on it. That's some serious percussion. So But Patrick has an interview show Wednesdays about 6 o'clock, I believe, 6 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
And it's called, he has a great name for it, too, and I can't remember it.
Wednesdays at 6 o'clock?
Yeah. I'll think of that name. But this week's guest is going to be Jake Gibbs. So that's the 3rd District Councilman.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake Gibbs, he's also an educator. You know, he's a professor, I believe, of history.
Oh, is he our mutual friend's father?
He's our mutual friend, Delia Gibbs's father. Yeah, Delia Gibbs is one of our longtime employees and volunteers here, and we've spent many a great hour with her in putting together WLXL LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. So first, I want to talk a little bit about this thing that's going to help us, and then I want to talk a little bit about all the other groups that it will help as well. So, you know, I want to let you know that Lexington Community Radio is excited to be taking part for the first time in the Good Giving Guide Challenge, and that is sponsored by the Bluegrass Community Foundation and Smiley Pete. The Good Giving Guide Challenge, it started on Friday, November the 13th, and it ends on December 31st at midnight. So it's a challenge for all these wonderful nonprofits in our city, are all collected together in this publication and online, and information is in this publication and online about them, and it allows you in this, you know, spirit of giving, which we have in Thanksgiving and the holiday season and so forth, to get to know some of your local nonprofits who are doing good in the community. The Lexington Bluegrass Community Foundation is that place where on High Street, where you're driving by the Ramsey's and the Missy's Pie Shop, on the right, it says, "Do Good." That's their office, right? Okay. And they're a very wonderful group of people. They helped us secure some of our initial startup funding for this wonderful community radio station project, which broadcasts in English and Spanish. Two radio stations and really great outreach to youth here in the high schools, to youth at the University of Kentucky. Lex, hi there, hey. Lexington, UK student.
Yes.
To all people from all walks of life come and learn broadcasting and bring their topics to their fellow communitarians. So this year, more than 100 organizations are participating in Lexington Community, and Lexington Community Radio is one of them. We have a goal of $60,000, so we'd really, you know, you can follow us on our social media to keep updated during the challenge. You can find out our fundraising page on our LCR website, which is lexingtoncommunityradio.org. There's a click that goes right to our Good Giving page. But what we're going to do here on Interview Radio through December 31st is we are going to welcome some of the people from the nonprofits who are part of this. We're working with the Bluegrass Community Foundation to set up appointments where people will come in and tell us a little bit about their organizations and a little bit, some real particular stories of helping. But we wanted to give you, our listener, which we're so glad to have, an overview here on Interview Radio. So what are some of the nonprofits that are listed in the Good Giving Guide? And guys, what are you seeing there that interests you?
Well, everything is really divided up by what group that they help the most. So there's animals, there's arts and culture, there's community, there's education. There's groups that focus on the environment or health or human services or the Central Kentucky Youth. So there's really a variety that... So
the Good Giving Guide has sort of organized this for us.
Correct.
And in the guide, there's an image that gives you a representation of some of the work that the group does. And then there are specific descriptions. So some of them are longstanding organizations that we know, and some of them are like Lexington Community Radio are new. So and we're going to be glad to welcome people from all of these different organizations to come and tell their stories on Interview Radio and some of the other programs here on LCR. So Ben, which ones in particular are catching your eye?
Oh, let's see. Well, I think they start off with sort of animal and veterinary assistance, yeah, Thoroughbred Charities of America.
Right, and that's a very unique need here, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I can't imagine that we would go to Spokane, Washington and say, you know, how's your Thoroughbred Charities doing? What sort of things do the Thoroughbreds benefit from in those those groups?
Well, rescue services, retirement and research, and let's see. Yeah, Better Life for Thoroughbreds, for the most part. And let's see, they've distributed over $21 million to more than 200 Thoroughbred-related organizations for the last 15 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's absolutely great. And little Lex, what are you finding?
I am loving all of the different organizations that give to the arts. So being relatively newer in town, because I did go to LSU for several years,
mm-hmm.
I am loving this March Madness marching band, which is a community band that aims to seek just to spread happiness and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the year.
And they're wacky, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're just wacky. It's intergenerational. They have brilliant costumes. They're the wackiness and the choices of the music, the dancing. I was one of their first fans. there was a pouring down rain, St. Patrick's Day parade, that there was one of their first, parades. That one and one that that they went on the Roots and Heritage parade too. That I trailed them on the whole parade route with my camera, pouring down rain on St. Pat's.
Yes. Well, having spent time in Louisiana, we love our parades. So
yeah, no, aren't you a member, Lexington? Aren't you a member of one of those crews or something?
I had friends who were members of crews, and so we'd go to all the events and all the fancy things. So,
and which crews did you go to last year?
2 years ago I was at Endymion, and then last year there's a small, just kind of like small town in the bayou, and so we went to that parade and those festivities as well.
Okay, well, great. Yeah. So you never know when Lexington's going to get swept up on a float and be swinging beads out at you. We'll have to keep an eye on you, darling.
And then we've got Living Arts and Science Center.
Oh, yeah. And sort of our neighbor, close by here.
Our neighbors and the Lyric Theater. So we're...
The Lyric Theater, where we have a great bunch of connections here at the Lyric Theater at WLXL LPFM, your community radio station. First of all, we have on Mondays from 2 to 3, we have the Lyric On Air radio program, and that is hosted either by Donald Mason, who's the executive director of the Lyric, or by Ashley Smith, who is the development director. They're both wonderful people. And they keep us up with what is going on in that really important kind of community resource that is both a place to see extraordinary concerts. And also, like earlier in the year, I went to a back to school fair where all the community agencies that wanted to reach moms and kids and dads and parents with back to school messages, things that they could do, the Police Athletic League, all these different groups were there. It was fantastic. So we have that connection to the Lyric, but also we have the connection to the Lyric in that every weekend we play Wood Songs Classic. We have, by the grace of Michael Jonathan, the song farmer and music entrepreneur that produces that nationwide show, both for TV and radio.
No, worldwide.
Oh, right, of course, nation. Duh.
Listeners in
the
all world,
the
over
nation,
the nation,
we're all in it. We're all in it, my bad.
The nation of the world.
The nation of the world, the worldly nation. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does go worldwide. It goes to army bases all over the world. It goes all...
Well, because they're on the internet and they podcast.
The internet, anywhere podcast, whole bunches of radio stations do the rebroadcast. And so what we're able to do is through the grace of WEKU and WUKY Radio, who run the current Wood Songs every week as it occurs, right? Mm-hmm. And through Michael Jonathan's generosity... we are playing Wood Songs Classic. So we have on Saturday and Sunday the right to rebroadcast one of these great Wood Songs performances from years back. And they're up in their 700s of things.
And I believe we do that in the mornings.
Right, yeah. Right. In the mornings, on the weekends. I believe it's from 9 to 10, but it might be from 10 to 11. But it's up there.
And I'm also noticing that these... If you don't have money to give, they have very specific needs that they list.
Who is that? Woodson, Lyric?
Everybody?
Well, every single one of these organizations listed has a section at the bottom that says volunteer and in-kind needs, and it varies. It's all over the place from event volunteers, administrative, cataloging library records to technical audio, video.
And is that us? What are our needs? How about that? Let's look at WLXL needs first and talk about those and then talk about the other things.
Oh, okay.
What are we listing as?
We're listing DJ and radio hosts.
DJ and radio hosts.
Would you
indeed.
Like a show? Would you like to be on the air?
If you'd like to be on the air, especially if you've got an interesting talk show in your mind and you'd like to be trained.
Or if you're an interesting person and you'd like to come on, I will show you how
hey,
to use.
Hey, all three of us are here. Now, but yeah, we definitely are interested in engaging community members who are interested in being on their radio or being part of it, learning how to broadcast or do other kinds of audio stuff.
And of course, Spanish speakers.
Spanish speakers, too, yes. Because we are going to be in the winter, we're going to be branching off. We'll be creating a brand new station. So we'll have two stations under Lexington Community Radio. One will be Spanish language and Spanish culture, and one will be more in English. So some of the programs that you know right now on LXL will move over to WLXU, which will be the English language station, and then the Spanish coverage over here on LXL will increase. We have from 9 to 10 in the morning, every morning, we have La Palusa, which is a magazine interview, talk, and music show with our own Alexis Mesa. We've got Julio Morales, and we've got Jonathan Diaz, a whole bunch of other people playing some real wonderful music, and we've got a cultural program too. So the Spanish is in its expansion. So if you're interested in that, what do? Well, you go to the Lexington Community Radio website, which is lexingtoncommunityradio.org, and if you are working in English, it will present in English. If you want to work in Spanish, it has a click, and you can get it in Espanol. You go to get involved, and there is an application for volunteering, and then there's a little Fayette County Public Schools volunteer application that we need to have you put in, just to be able to come into the school system. And then there's a program proposal. You can fill those out. You can also always call us at 859-721-5699 to get more information about working here at WLXL LPFM as a volunteer or as part of Lexington Community Radio. We do events too. We've got plenty of events. Mm-hmm. So, and cash. We also like all of the nonprofits in this Good Giving Guide, we are seeking donations on the Good Giving Guide website because we do have certain needs to meet. And I was looking this morning, and I think, what did we have? We had, it was like $50. $50 buys maybe a week of live streaming services because we have to pay for the bandwidth of live streaming. I think it's $20 buys a replacement cartridge for one of our turntables. $100 buys a production microphone, a microphone that's good enough for us to produce a particular show or
I guess maybe we should also mention we have the Amazon link page.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're shopping
That.
If you're shopping at Amazon, you go to our page first. You click on our Amazon link. That takes you to Amazon. And then you just sign in and shop as normal. And we get a small percentage of that.
Right.
It's free money.
Right. The other thing is, I always have this, is we're also a Kroger. We're a Kroger Rewards people. So if you would like to register.
And a lot of people don't know that Kroger even does that. So, yeah, if you go to, if you set up an account with like the Kroger website and you have your Shoppers Plus card, which you all, we have to have that.
Right.
Now we're paid twice as much as we normally would at Kroger. And then you can pick a charity to link your Kroger card to, and just a percentage
and we're one of them.
Automatically
right.
goes to it.
So they get a certain percentage of, 10 yogurts and 2 dozen eggs from me every week. So,
oh, sure. Yeah.
In any case, Khaki Urch here on Interview Radio with my guest hosts, Lexington Sowers and Ben Wolf. We're talking a little bit about this extraordinary thing in the Lexington community called the Good Giving Guide. We are part of it, and a number of other nonprofits are part of it. It's put together by Smiley Pete in conjunction with the Bluegrass Community Foundation, and it helps more than 100 organizations raise money. We are in it for the first time this year. We do have a goal of $60,000. You can follow Lexington Community Radio on our social media page to keep updated during the challenge. And you can find more of our fundraising page on LCR's website, lexingtoncommunityradio.org. And just click through and go to the Good Giving guide.
I also want to mention the Carnegie Center is up on the Good Giving guide as well. I always like the
Carnegie Center. Okay, so tell us about the Carnegie Center. And where is it if people are new? Where is it and what can you do there? Because there's something for everybody at the Carnegie Center.
251 West 2nd Street, 40507. And I know they do a lot of writing and creative writing classes and services. And let's see.
And some of the best, you can take courses there with some of the greatest writers and poets and...
Yeah, in the state.
And Lexington Sowers?
You can't take one with me. I don't know if I'm that good. Mm-hmm. But when I was little, I don't know how old I was, but definitely like 7 or 8, and I went to a writing camp, a writing workshop, and still remember the things Carnegie I learned Center? There. Still have very fond memories of that. So it's great for young and old alike.
When she was little, I still think of the Carnegie Center as new. The new thing that they put in the former main library. Like, I have checked library books out of that building. Okay, one of the reasons it's called the Carnegie Center is that it's based in the library there, right near Gratz Park. So it's 2nd Street is the address. Kind of the cross street is Mill, right? And it sits at one end of Gratz Park with Transylvania University at the other. And it is a Carnegie library because the great philanthropist and noted Scotsman and bootstrapper and, guy, Andrew Carnegie of the steel fortune that he made, right, believed in education and through reading, too. So he endowed these Carnegie libraries all over America. Lexington got one. In addition, our first major library at the University of Kentucky was a Carnegie Library, the M.I. King Library, right? Yeah. And so, interestingly, because, Kentucky's a land-grant institution, and the Carnegie's, helping. So then I go and I do my doctoral work at Penn State, and that library, which is now called the Paterno Library because they built it bigger, whatever, but that library... They walk me through it, and it's a Carnegie Library, too. And they're like, let me show you where everything is. I'm like, I've been in this library before. We have it at University of Kentucky.
I read a fascinating article a few years ago about Andrew Carnegie and John Rockefeller getting in a charity war. Who could get more stuff named after themselves? And
well, a library, a city, that'll work. Right? So it's still working for Carnegie, right? Because Carnegie Center.
More of that today. That would be fun.
Okay, so the Carnegie Center has a fairly new, he's been in, I think, maybe 3 years. Neil Chetnik, who is the director? A lot of really dynamic things. They recently had a celebration of the great Kentucky writer Hunter S. Thompson and his work, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. They had a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas night.
Not a lot of people know he's from Kentucky.
Right, he's from Louisville, right?
He's one of my favorites.
He is one of your favorites. And did you know, Lexington, that this year, now, at the School of Journalism and Telecommunications at the University of Kentucky, you can apply for the Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo Scholarship because he was inducted. No, I swear. He was inducted last year into the Kentucky Journalism Hall of Fame, which is adjudicated by our school, and his widow endowed a scholarship. So you can have the Gonzo Scholarship if you qualify. And okay. I kind of hope you don't.
Right. Right. I have mixed feelings about it right now.
Because having read Fear and Loathing.
The requirements for that.
Yeah, right. Having read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas as a 12-year-old as a how-to book, I highly don't recommend it. However, there is definitely a scholarship. But in addition, there are study groups, there are after-school support.
And I wanted to mention they have
camps,
literacy,
digital training.
Literacy programs, which might be pertinent to our listeners here.
Yes, if you want to get stronger on your reading and writing, I was working with some folks the other day, and they needed to get some audio materials for this particular book we were working with, and if you want to see about availability of materials or strengthening your literacy skills, your reading skills, the Carnegie Center is a wonderful place. And if you're a person who wants to support those, this Good Giving Guide gives you options. What else do they need other than money?
Well, the two things jumped out at me. They need volunteer tutors for children K through 12.
Okay.
Which I think most of us can do. I don't think you probably you don't need a degree in English.
Well, I wouldn't give me a 10th grade geometry. I would not give me that.
Well, this is writing. I'm sure you can. I've seen you write. I know you can do that.
I can definitely write.
And one thing they need are your old iPads and tablets. So if you've upgraded that and you don't use your old iPad, your old tablet, it's passé. It's they can use them. Give them, you know, don't throw it away. Don't recycle. Take it down to the Carnegie Center, and they'll let the kids use them.
That's right. If you're a person who's sitting around kicking about,
I need the new iPhone.
The 4, 5, and 6 Q. You've got sitting in the drawer, because, they would like it.
Because the 5 are just, no, no, whatever it is. No, you can't do that anymore. Give that to the Carnegie Center.
Okay, so here you are. You're listening to Interview Radio on WLXL LPFM. My name is Kaki Urch. I'm one of your hosts. Your other hosts are Ben Wolf and Lexington Sowers. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday. We interview some of the most interesting people in Lexington about some of the most pressing topics. We talk about public safety. We talk about public health. We talk about social issues. Today we're having a show that's mostly about transgender. There's a couple of things going on. One is it's Transgender Awareness Month, the whole month of November. And then coming up on November 20th is the official Transgender Day of Remembrance, in which there's an official nationwide remembrance of those who are transgender who have been killed and brutalized because of their orientation and their gender assignment. So we have had two brilliant guests, licensed clinical social workers from the Veterans Administration here in Lexington. We learned that the Lexington Veterans Administration is one of those leading the way in transgender integration, because now transgender veterans and current serving members can get almost all transgender healthcare and support services, not the reassignment surgery itself, but work with endocrinology, work with counselors, work with documents that must be carried, and so forth, including help with changing the status of discharge from a dishonorable to an honorable discharge.
That was one thing
that was very fascinating to me
today. So if you've been dishonorably discharged for the old laws, the old arcane
the sexual
type
right
stuff,
before don't ask, don't tell,
come back, give them a call, and
they have a group here in Lexington that has worked to and has actually succeeded in changing some people's discharge levels.
Yeah, and let's give out their number one more time.
Go ahead.
859-233-4511.
That's the Veterans Administration here in Lexington, if you're interested. And also, they have an LGBT support group that is forming with the two wonderful licensed clinical social workers who we had as our first guests, Sherry Sawyers and Cindy Robichaux.